Hey, it's Tim, Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. Join me with the 5-foot one in the world, Jill Simonello from cold Chicago. Jill, I don't know if you noticed.
Now, very cold this morning.
Right. Beautiful day here in Nebraska. I don't know if you noticed this tonight, but I'm going incognito.
Okay.
Not wearing a hat.
So the reason why I'm wearing a hat is because otherwise you have workout, Jill. And because right. I haven't showered since I worked out today. So yeah, you get the hat.
I just thought every once in a while I like to mess with the audience and not wear a hat just because I think it's funny for me. But yeah, maybe not funny for you.
So anyway. I'm wearing the hat for you.
Well, there you go. So it's kind of reverse because sometimes you don't wear a hat and sometimes I wear hats and Wow. I'm probably going way too down the road on this, but yeah. Oh, well. In the weeds. All right. So what are we talking? Oh, we're talking about some vehicles that went live today. I have to tell you the story. Sunday, I knew this week's going to be nice. I want to play golf. So I thought I'm going to work my butt off on Sunday. It was 40 degrees. Wind was howling. So I edited both Ranger videos. And then I actually shot 3 videos in my office. And I had the iPad open watching the Players Championship, which is a golf tournament. And I was watching that and I was editing and shooting videos on mute, whatever. And I got the third video out because somebody asked a question about something. I put the third video out and somebody in the comments says, "Wow, Tim, must be a crappy day in Nebraska. 3 videos on a Sunday." And I was like, yeah. You know, you kind of got me on that one. I mean, that's literally what's going on. Cause I knew, like I said, I knew the weather was 67. It's supposed to be almost 70 on Thursday with light wind with a mix of clouds and sun. Today's almost a full Sunday. So I was like, all right, I got a bunch of work done. And then, yeah. So today was the, what do I say? The climatic end of all that work I put out. So we did, this is our fourth video today.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to do anything tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe I'll write a story or something. I need to work on a couple different things I've been told, Jill, I've worked on for a while and I just haven't done them. But yeah, so there you go. And I haven't, Jill, I went and I took the afternoon. I had some mental stress from all the stuff I was doing and I took the afternoon off. I haven't looked at YouTube comments. I'm a little nervous. Because the initial YouTube comment, I woke up this morning and I checked the video, see how I was doing, you know, just normal business thing. And the initial YouTube comments were all about the price of the Ford Ranger.
Okay.
With hell no, F no, screw you no, I hope you go bankrupt no, that's ridiculous money no. I mean, that was kind of the tone. And so okay, I thought. So
it's $3,000 more base to base if you look at the Ford Ranger versus the Chevy Colorado.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the video I put out, and you were at the same event. Just we had a little bit different timing. We both did Ranger Raptor drive together. The video I put out was, and I did maybe a good thing or a bad thing. I put the price in the title, and I think it's probably a bad thing because it doesn't. You know, I don't know if it really makes a big difference, but from a gathering YouTube engagement point of view, putting the price in the title was huge. Like people just, they didn't watch the video. I could tell that the average view duration was like terrible. People didn't watch the video. They just want to comment immediately on truck prices getting too high. Like, and I had said very carefully in the video, I thought $46,000 for what you have. Right. So, I mean, people like the screen, hate the screen, fine, whatever, but you get the bigger screen, you get digital dash, you get people hate to love that, whatever, but you get the stuff in the bed, which I like, you get this, you get that. For $46,000 to go to Tacoma, you have to add like $9,000 to that price. You're at $55,000 for what I consider similar to Tacoma. So I mean, I thought the Ford Ranger price point was pretty good in today's market, with today's environment, with the inflation, with the pricing, with things. You know, I mean, you put all the stuff together. But yeah, I thought it was. I didn't have a problem with the price as far as yes, your 2002 Ford Ranger XLT. Brand new cost $20,000. I totally get that. But in today's environment, and the thing is like 1,579 pounds of payload in the one I drove around. I think the towing one's 1,546, whatever, but real payload numbers. I don't know if you've kept up on the forum on this a little bit. The initial people buying the Tacoma, the payload numbers are just crazy low. Like we're talking 1,200 pounds, 1,400 pounds, like just less low. And so you get the Ford Ranger. You can fit four people in the cabin. Yes, five if you use that little seat. So four men and a Jill.
And yeah, then, four men and a Jill. That's about right. Yeah.
And you can tow like 7,000 pounds if you feel like you want to put your life in jeopardy. But, you know, you can tow a small camper. You can tow Ski-Doos and stuff. You can park in a garage. You're under 50,000. And the fuel economy I got was – and I, as a rule, I don't generally talk about fuel economy in press drives, but
– And I took that out of your story, by the way, because I was like, that was not enough time to – And yeah. I couldn't tell what you got it on, if it was while you were towing or whatever. And okay. I was like, delete.
So it's in the video. yeah. But I mean, it was like 20s. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. That's the problem. The problem is you can't, there's not a real good, it's not a real test. But people want to know immediately. They want to shop. People are like, I don't buy a truck for fuel economy. Oh, bull. Because you guys watch all those videos. We do fuel economy testing videos.
Right. And so when now you have something that you can test when we actually get to drive it for real is you can test the fuel economy and you can have a great video about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was pretty happy with the Ford Ranger. I thought it was and Jill's perspective a couple weeks ago where the older Ford Ranger wasn't a wow factor. I don't think this is a wow factor, but I think it's a
really good upgrade. It's not an ick factor either.
Yeah, it's not it. No, I thought it was really kind of well done.
Yeah. And, you know, I do want to.
Yeah, we got some really good comments.
I
want
to comment, like post Kyle 007's comment on there. I think people are out of touch with the pricing. 45 for the value of that truck is pretty good. It is within range of competitors. People think new trucks should cost the same as the last one 5 years ago. Yeah, what people don't understand is the average transaction price for a new vehicle these days is $48,000. $48,000. Yeah. That's. For, you know, looking at your Nissan Versas all the way up to your Cadillac Escalades, and then you get this average price of $48,000. And, you know, people are paying a lot of money for a new vehicle these days. And so the average transaction price is just going up and up and up and up. So, yeah, I think $45,000 for a midsize truck that's decently equipped. Like, I thought even the XLT version of the truck that I was driving was really well done.
Yeah. So we had a first comment about which one would you buy, personal perspective, which is, it's always a tough thing because, you know, I never look at things for personal perspective. I always look at business-wise. It's just difficult to answer those kind of questions. Would I buy? I will tell you that I initially, when I saw the truck in March or May in Michigan, I wasn't over the moon on it. And we saw the auto show version. It didn't blow me away. But when I drove the XLT and I spent like the good half an hour, whatever we had in it, I was like, damn, this is really good. Like, I mean, and the thing is, we always get these questions, right? So which one rides better? Have you been in a midsize truck lately? They all ride really well. Like it's, you really just pick and nits, like which one rides better. I think that I felt like the Ford Ranger drove more like a car, a sedan, which is the way the Ford F-50 by Power Boost rode too.
Wouldn't say it drives like a sedan,
but I mean, from my perspective,
like more like a midsize SUV.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't have a truck like ride. It doesn't drive like a sedan.
Right. So, and I think the other ones ride more trucky, but automakers are constantly pushing these trucks to drive more like midsize SUVs. Let's go with that, Joe. Powertrain perspective. Like what are we discussing here? We're discussing 40 foot-pounds of torque or 50 foot. I mean, the numbers are so close. Now, what I tell people is, it doesn't matter. I could have a truck that gets 1,000 foot-pounds of torque, but if it happens at 7,000 RPMs, who cares? Because they'll never get there until I redline, right? So to me, the turbo engines are. If you want a fast truck, go get a turbo engine. You know, look at the Frontier, the naturally aspirated V6. I understand people don't like turbos, but if you want a quick truck, turbos. Turbos just, they go. The torque curve is so much better. The power delivery is better. And I had somebody ask me a question on the forum about this because I had made a comment in another video about that. And I said about power and that kind of things. And I'm not going to argue over, you know, foot pound torque numbers being different. Let's look at the torque curve. Let's see when you actually get that torque. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I like, so you got in earlier than I did, and I drove a little bit later than you did, and we were driving solo. We didn't have a partner in our cars. And I thought, like, the Ranger was really comfortable. I thought, you know, I had really good visibility out of the windows, And, you know, we were going up and down mountains and lots of hills, lots of inclines, declines, all the things, twisty bits, as I like to say. And I just, I mean, it was comfortable. Like, it just felt like comfortable. Like there are some vehicles you get behind the wheel of and you're like, you can't get the mirrors right. You can't, you know, you just can't get the right position. And this wasn't that. I thought everything about it was really well done.
Yeah. I made a point in my story, and I haven't read your story, by the way. I took a little break today, but I thought the 2.3 for a base engine, I towed with it. I thought it was pretty darn good. I would have loved to have had a time to drive the 2.7. It wasn't there.
It wasn't there. Yeah. But they don't have any announcements on when it's going to be available.
Yeah, we don't know. Don't email us. We have no idea. I thought the 2.3 was fine. I thought it was for, and I'm used to driving like natural aspirated dog V6s, but four cylinder engines and things. This is a turbo engine from the ground up. And I thought it was pretty damn good for a base engine. I was really surprised. Yeah. So for the money, to go back to his comment about Nick Wilson, for the money, I would look at the Ranger personally for the XLT base trim, get the towing package. I thought it was, yeah, I there's nothing. And the thing is, like, first drives are just so hard. It's just so hard because you got 1,000 things you're looking at, 1,000 things you're talking about. You're looking at all this different stuff.
You're doing video. You're taking notes. Yeah. Write a story. You're, you know, if you have a partner, you're talking to your partner. You're hitting the buttons. You're touching things. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I were to say anything, I would say, hey, let's take a break. Let's go ahead and wait for us to have more videos on it, or, you know, wait for more people to buy it before you go in whole hog on it, you know, as far as putting order in. But my initial impressions were really good. And I think I wrote my story, unless Jill deleted it. it happens. No, but she does great work. I'm just having fun with her. I was really impressed, and it was one of the more impressive trucks I've driven in a long time. And I just, like I said, the Colorado, my story, and that was quirky. I thought the Tacoma was a grand slam, but keep in mind that we drove the higher trim level Tacomas. The lower trim level, like the one that TFL has, and TFL and the Ben and Beta has, wow. I looked at that and I was like, they spent $46,000 on that. And that's all they got. Like I was like, and so my opinion of Tacoma has changed dramatically. In that I look at the pricing of Tacoma, I look at what you get for the dollar, it's expensive.
It is. You know, so when somebody had asked me Tacoma versus Ranger on one of my TikTok videos, and I said, if you care about design, Tacoma.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The design of the Tacoma is really well done, from like the dash emblems that they put on, you know, to the 3D like logos, to the materials that they use, like the design, I feel like it was knocked out of the park in terms of the Tacoma. Mm-hmm. You know, the interior and exterior.
Well, now, and all the different trim levels and the Trail Hunter trim. I mean, yeah, really good.
Yeah, the Trail Hunter.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Ford Ranger is a really good vehicle for the money. It drives, it's really comfortable. And, you know, so by the way, my article is coming out on Thursday because I did a combined Raptor Ranger review. Okay. So I included everything, and they did two different,
embargoes.
Yeah.
So Ranger Raptor embargoes Thursday, by the way, if you're
questioning that. So, so that's my story is actually coming out on Thursday. It'll be on Consumer Guide Automotive website. But like I'm trying to remember where I was going with it. The one thing that I was really impressed with the Ranger was the backup trailer assist functionality, because they had a Tacoma and a, Ranger there for you to back up. Like one, you had to like just back up the hard way. And then the other, you like with the Ranger, you had the backup assist with a dial, and not a tower here at all. You know, I live in a city. So really the only time I get the opportunity to tow is when I am at an event. you know, so I, cause sure as heck not bringing a camper or trailer or anything into Chicago, that would just be disastrous. So I, you know, never get to tow. And when I got by and they're like, well, do you want to do the Ranger or do you want to do the Tacoma first? And I'm like, oh, I would like to fail first. So let's do the Tacoma. Cause obviously they would not pit them against each other if, you know, the Ranger was going to do worse. So, yeah, backing up the Tacoma with a trailer was very hard. And they had it, like, it wasn't just backing up in a straight line. They had like this S-curve thing that they wanted you to kind of slalom through. And I was just like, yeah, if the cones were people, like, that would have been very bad. So there would have been some cone carnage. But then I got into the Ranger and, you know, it still wasn't easy. Don't get me wrong, but it was easier. And I don't think I hit any cones. It's an impressive system.
Yeah. So I've used that system before. And it was funny when I went to that test, I was one of the first ones over there cause I'd gotten in there earlier. So I flew in the night before. Right. Cause of my travel, and trust me, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. I get in at 10 o'clock, went straight to bed, all that kind of stuff. But, I went over there first, and it was funny because the F-150 power boost I had in 21 had the power, or the, I want to say power, Ford Pro backup, whatever, the backup trailer system. Ford's got their marketing stuff on there, whatever. So I've used that system, and I used it because I have a single axle short bed Chevy trailer. And just so you know, and I don't know if you know this, dual axle trailers, you could back them up all day long. No big deal. You give me a short wheelbase single axle trailer with a short tongue, you look at the damn thing, it jackknifes just looking at it. I mean, so when you're at that event and they had the Ski-Doo trailer, it was a single axle short trailer. Those trailers were specifically, you know, things that people would use them for, right? Those trailers were the right trailers for the equipment that was on it. And that's something that a consumer would use in a mid-sized truck. And so it made total sense, but those trailers are also obnoxiously easy to jackknife. So it was even it was even more of a decent test. But it was funny because I asked the guy who was presenting stuff, I had him hold the camera because I brought my long stick for the GoPro, and he did a good job. He held pretty steady, and I just ran the footage as is. But I was doing the Tacoma, and I always do the bottom steering wheel trick. It's always you put your hand on the bottom steering wheel, and that's how you turn, right? And so I'm like, I do think the Ford Ranger system is probably a little bit easier. And I was doing like Miyagi, like wax on, wax off, wax on, wax off. And so I watched the video and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of made it look easy, but I've been back up trailer for a long period of time. But I said in the story, and I think you'd agree as well, is that the backup trailer assist does make it less stressful for those who occasionally tow. Yeah. Yes, if you're a dude who's been towing a trailer for 35 years, you don't want that crap because you've been doing it. I totally get it. But if you're somebody who doesn't tow very often, it is a nice feature to have. And if you have a trailer that's it's kind of set up, it's going to be one of those things. I want to ask this because Donald Rush asked this question. Did you get to use adaptive cruise and park assist on the Ranger XLT? So I made a wrong turn and got on the interstate. And that's the only time I used got above speed. The hills and things that we're in, we're like in a state park in Utah. There was no reason to use adaptive cruise because you were too busy driving around the curb.
Too busy turning corners.
park assist. So this is something that I think Jill should use in her videos more. And it just dawned on me. I don't use it. I don't use it. We have there's like two spots in town that have perpendicular park assist. And there's like a few spots with park assist. It's a feature I don't use. And remember that feature? It's a couple weeks ago you and I were talking about this. There was a feature Ford had or something like that. They actually took off because they looked at the telematics and nobody was using the damn feature. And so, yeah, I didn't use it. I didn't use adaptive cruise control. Adaptive cruise control, the thing that people don't like about it, sometimes it hesitates as it gets around a vehicle. It doesn't get up to speed quite quickly. What's fascinating about that is it's the electrical architecture of the vehicle. It's the computers. The computers have to process have a higher processing speed to get past that. The new generation Tahoe, they actually redid the entire electrical architecture and put faster computers in to get up speed faster. People will think it's the engine sluggish, whatever. It's just electronics. And so I'm not quite sure if the Ford Ranger, like what level electrical architecture they have in that vehicle, and whether they used, they didn't talk about it in press releases, didn't talk about it in the presentation. So if it's the, what I want to say is if it's the older architecture that was used in a prior generation Ranger that carried over, you're probably going to have some delay getting up to speed with adaptive screws. If they upgraded architecture to put faster computers in, you'll probably have more of a quicker response when you're passing vehicles like Interstate. But I generally don't use Park Assist. And it was funny, a couple years ago, they brought a vehicle up and the guy who delivered it was told from the loan agency to give me a demonstration of Park Assist. I told him, I said, no, thanks. And he goes, I'm supposed to. I said, just no. I don't actively use it. And I don't know if it's something, it's me, or you're shaking your head like you don't use it either.
I don't use it. But so I will tell you, my older sister is the classic use case for something like that, because she can't parallel park. Whenever she comes to Chicago, she always hands me the keys to her car. I like essentially had to learn how to drive a manual transmission just to park her car in Chicago. Because, and this was before I was like writing about cars. But yeah, because she can't parallel park at all. And so I would say for somebody who like lives in the suburbs or a rural area where there is no parallel parking, but then you occasionally go someplace where there's parallel parking, I think the feature makes a little bit of sense, because it works really well. But if you can't parallel park at all, you know, you're going to be going like this and like that and like this and like, you know, trying to get into the space and recorrecting. My biggest complaint with Park Assist features is that it just takes too flipping long, and it wants a space that's bigger than what I would park in. And so it's like, I'll drive down my street in Chicago whenever I have these features and I'll just be like, oh, I could fit there. And I like drive past the spot and it's like, nope. And I'm like, come on, I could fit there. And so like I drive down and then it like gives me like a space that's like two car lengths long. And I was like, well, that's not a test. Of course I can fit there. Like my sister could park there because you just pull in. So I, you know, and then when it parks, it's like, it's super slow.
I feel like you did that with the press loan where you had the key fob. You stood outside of it.
Oh, that was the Genesis GV80. And I did this video and we put it on the website and it got deleted. But we put it on the website because I don't think we actually did a video of it. But I was in the car and I was like, let's try this feature. And I hit the button. It was like, get out of the car. And I was like, what? I've never been in a vehicle that was like, leave the vehicle, take the key fob with you. And I was like, but it's still on and it's telling me, and it's like, get out, like get the hell out of the car. Yeah. And I was just like, what? And so I got out of the car and then the car parked itself. And I was like, what the hell just happened here? And it was the first time I tried it. So I like literally captured like all of my reactions.
Yeah, your excitement. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and see if I have that stored anywhere.
No, I think it's in the GV80 video. And if you want, I can clip it and put it back on the website.
We put that video up. I think I was going to put that on my channel and I never edited it. I don't think it's on our channel. I think there was just that one short clip of the video. I mean, if it's there, like definitely like add the link.
It was hilarious. I'm writing a note for that right now. All right. Let's see. Oh, AK Ethan says picks up this Santa Fe Limited this week.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's new Santa Fe. So it's I will tell you, I want to get the Ranger a little bit more here in just a minute, but I will tell you that I watched Jill's video and I do not like the exterior of the Santa Fe. It's not my thing. However, I think the interior, they did a pretty cool job. I think it looks good inside. And maybe it's the color palette. I've only seen brown and silver. Maybe there's something that fits. And you're also his celebrity crush, by the way. I don't know if you've read that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. Me too, Sean. Wait a minute. So we're talking Ranger reliability.
Yes. Ooh.
So here's the thing. And it was in my final bottom line. My two concerns with Ranger are, can Ford build it reliability be all right? And two, can they actually build the damn thing? Right. So
that's the bigger concern. I mean, because the things that are going on, I mean, let's be honest. Nobody likes a recall. Recalls are flipping annoying.
Yes.
And Ford seems to be leading the industry right now in recalls. But I mean, the good news is recalls get repaired for free. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that is certainly an annoyance.
Yeah. And fortunately, a lot of the recalls haven't been too much on the engine. Transmission, yes, 10-speed, which I think is interesting. 10-speed is being used throughout their lineup. So if they had problems with it, why would they keep offering a variety of vehicles? So it's, yeah, I don't know, chin rub there. It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure. Fortunate to supply the trailer weight for the ride and drive. I agree. That I walked around that trailer 4 or 5 times, and I was very frustrated myself because I did not take video of it. I should have taken video of the whole trailer and showed you guys. There was no sticker on that trailer at all. And I thought, and I chime in if you guys know this. I don't know this. I have no idea. I don't know if like DOT, GVWR kind of sticker situations are mandatory on campers. I would think they would be, right? You want to know your weight loaded, your weight unloaded, you know, whatever. When it was built, like I was expecting a date being built, like a tire pressure number on there or something. I was shocked that camper had none information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't tow like by the, because I got there late.
Yeah, by the time you get there.
I like it was like 4 o'clock starting to snow and it was like getting dark. And I was like, I don't think me towing right now on a mountain is a good idea.
Well, and the towing route was really short and it really wasn't, it wasn't a great drive route for the towing. Utah was a cool location, but where we were at, we should have done it a flatter area. Like where we did the Ranger Raptor drive was really flat, deserty area. And that would have been actually a better towing experience, I think, in that day. But we didn't get the chance to do that. Did you ever get the Ford warning to put your hands at a steering wheel? I'm not sure why. I think that's a Blue Cruise thing, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a Blue Cruise thing. I don't know if that was referring to the adaptive cruise control. Now, adaptive cruise control is not the same as Blue Cruise, and the Ranger does not get Blue Cruise.
Yeah, Ranger doesn't have Blue Cruise at all.
Blue Cruise is Ford's hands-free highway system where you can drive on select highways below 80 miles per hour, by the way. That's the new thing. It has to be below 80 miles per hour. And you can just put your hands in your lap and keep your eyes on the road. And it watches, like there's a camera that watches your eyes to make sure you're not like, you know, on your phone texting.
Right.
I recently had the Lincoln Corsair with the Blue Cruise feature on it. So,
No. The Lincoln's got their own name for it.
Nope. They do not anymore. They changed the name. They no longer call it Active Glide. It is now Blue Cruise.
Marketing bull.
It's all the same thing. And I essentially drove from Chicago all the way down to Indianapolis on A65 engaging Blue Cruise. And there was one moment when there was an exit that the car tried to take me down at like 80 miles per hour. It was like, wait a minute, I'm not exiting here. But that only happened once. And other than that, like it was pretty, like that system was pretty seamless, but that system is not on the Ranger. So if you take your hands off the wheel with using adaptive cruise control, even though it has the lane keep assist, it would tell you to put your hands on the wheel.
Yeah, I would think it'd do it immediately. All right, so Andrew's asked this question twice, and I didn't get to it above. Do you think Ford will do a trimmer for the Ranger and also a long bed version of the Ranger at some point if Toyota sells a bunch of their long bed of their Tacoma? Great content, Tim and Jill. So do you want to – I don't know. I'm going to leave it up there for a minute so we can talk about it more. So there's two parts.
I'm going to say no to the long bed. I don't think they'll ever do that.
Okay. What about a trimmer?
I could see them doing that. I mean, Ford is notorious for like, okay, this is what you get starting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, next year they've got to like, because they've got to do something, or the year after, like next year, maybe they don't need to do anything, but like 2 years out from launch, they got to do something to like make it fresh and make people excited. So I could see them doing a Tremor package.
Yeah. I'm going to say I could see them doing a Tremor because if you look at the lineup of the Ford Ranger right now, there's definitely a spot for it. There's between FX4 and Ranger Raptor, there's definitely a spot for it. It's easy for them to do. It's easy profit for them to do. I can see that coming. I'm going to go with Jill as well on long bed. I think that people like the idea of long beds on mid-sized trucks, but the sales data is so poor for overall sales.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same idea with crew cab, full-size trucks. They want the longer bed on there. But you look at the numbers, and when automakers tell us, like, they don't even put that version of all the different options of trims and things because people just don't buy it.
Yeah.
So I just I understand people want a little bit more longer bed, but it people just overall, I mean, I see in my area, I see one out of every 10 trucks that heavy duties, like for crew cab, 8-foot beds. I don't see that hardly at all. And I'll see a 6.5-foot bed very occasionally. Majority of full-size trucks I see are 5-foot, 7-inch beds. I don't see long beds. And it's funny. I was asking one of the automakers once about doing more long beds. They just kind of chuckled. They're like, who's going to buy it? Because they're like, nobody buys them. Like, it's one of the things that people want them. And then I've owned trucks for years, and I've never needed a longer bed. And I know it's sacrilegious. I have a friend who will never buy a truck. It's not an 8-foot bed. And I said to him, and we were discussing something about this, and I said, what do you need the 8-foot bed for? He goes, well, I just got to have it. You know, the one time I'm going to haul drywall or I'm going to haul, you know, camping, I'm like, okay, I see camping. You want a little bit more room in the bed. I get that. But like drywall, like really, like I did my basement by myself. I hung the drywall. I put the tape, plaster, the whole deal. It was like summer and I was done. And I should have had them deliver the drywall. I should have just had them deliver it because it would have saved me a lot of headache going back and forth to Menards to get more drywall. So like, I know people hate it when I say this, and I know my rural friends are going to be pissed off because you can't have there's no damn full-size truck with an 8-foot bed. That's not a real truck. It's a city truck. And I totally get it, but look at the sales volume. It's not there. It just doesn't. And so, yes, if Toyota sells a bunch, they will compete, right? So Ford will compete. But I don't know so much because the Ranger still feels like it's kind of a forgotten truck in Ford's lineup. They have a lot of energy in F-150. They have a lot of energy in the Maverick. They have a lot of energy in Super Duty. Ranger's kind of like the bastard stepchild, just kind of get left out there. So like if Toyota starts selling a bunch of long bed Tacomas, would Ford care? Because the profit margins Rangers are less, and they have to, that if you build a long bed truck, you have to put it in the assembly line, which means you're going to screw up the how many trucks you build a day, because the additional bed length screws up how many trucks go through the line. They have a line speed ratio. Mm-hmm. And so adding that foot pushes another vehicle back, and it causes some problems. And so I don't know that in the grand scheme of things, from a business standpoint, it makes sense. I don't know. Let's see. Kyle 0007 says, I saw you mentioned backseat is bigger. Is it big enough for use as a full family vehicle, or is a full size still a better answer? Especially if only truck needs is towing a pontoon boat, 4,000 to 5,000 pounds.
If anybody in the backseat is my size, yes, full family vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mid-size is, it was interesting. Somebody pointed this out in somewhere. I read it this morning. They said that the reviewers are saying that the Ford Ranger has the biggest backseat of all the mid-size trucks. And it caused me to pause because I think I replied to it or something. And I said, you know, until I can get all of them together, maybe at the State Fair of Texas in October would make sense, because your thought process, your memory is different than reality. Right. So I want to say memory wise says the Ford Ranger's got a pretty good, you know, backseat room. But when I look at specs, and I've done spec analysis, there's a chart on our website, pickuptrucktalk.com, that does the rear seat legroom specs. That was all about within an inch, like it was half inch. I mean, it was really minimal differences. And so I don't think that I don't know that the Ranger is bigger than anything else. I don't know that's true. But it is definitely not a full family vehicle. I know my friend Dave Boyd over at All Train Nation loves midsize trucks, and he argues me, he takes a son and daughter in a midsize truck, and they have it, you know, they can drive around, whatever. Maybe I have I have this comfort zone, the no touchy comfort zone that says don't put your shoulder next to mine, right? Maybe I fly in too many damn airplanes and I want more room. like I can fit my family of four in a mid-sized truck. There's a video of us in a mid-sized truck. I think we're in Colorado. It's all four of us in. My kids are 14 and 12. And my 14-year-old and 12-year-old are pretty sitting next to each other. Not next to each other, but there's not like a room for a third person back there easily. And then, you know, it's like, and then you start towing, you tow on top of that, and you're really asking a lot of that midsize truck, in my opinion. If you put a top, if you put like a family of four in the truck with your cargo and you do a pontoon boat, you're really asking a lot. And my problem with pontoon boats is that the length of them is a concern because the wheelbase of the Ford Ranger is so small. Mm-hmm. And I guess from my standpoint, maybe it's different other people's standpoint, I don't want to have what I'm towing to be twice as long versus the vehicle I'm towing with, right? It's just the wheelbase doesn't, and when I mean wheelbase, I mean the fact that out here in Nebraska, we have a lot of sidewinds, and sidewinds are just really difficult when you have less wheelbase.
Yeah.
So I would be concerned. I just would be concerned. Sir Skippy Pants says he never understood people that live in areas that require parallel parking who don't learn how to do it. I don't understand anything. If you know, especially like you live in a city, right? So I go visit Jill and I can parallel park. But Jill's always, she's better at it. She does more experience at it. She does a great job at it. You know, we don't parallel park out here in Nebraska.
Yeah. And I will say, because I drive a different vehicle every week, it gets hard to parallel park sometimes because like a truck parallel parks very differently. You have to cut the wheel at a very different time than when, like, if you're right. Like, I'm driving a Nissan Versa this week, like that is a very different angle to park. And so like, I always look like an idiot the first time I parallel park a vehicle.
Yes.
And people are like silently judging me. I know. And I'm like, this is the 51st car I've driven this year. Back off.
I think one year I had a Ram 1-ton crew cab, 6.5-foot bed. And then next week I got a Mini Cooper. And I was taking out curbs for the first couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
I was just, oh, crap. Yeah, taking out curbs. All right. So this is kind of fun. Let's get more questions. Walter? That's interesting. Walter. Huh. Walter with a V. Did the headrest in the back seat fold down? No. So they don't jam the front seat back when lowered?
I feel so the Ford Ranger can flip up the seat so you have a flat load floor, right? Flat load floor. Or
Well, it's not a flat load, there's storage underneath of it. You have some the floor is not,
but you can lift the seat up so that you have more of a flat. And then you can also put the seat down.
You can.
And I'm trying to think if the headrests fold down. When you flip it down.
I don't recall that they did. I know I could probably find my video on this real fast. Because I did show the seats. Hold on, technical issue. I'll Jill, I'm gonna find this. Can you move along? Bunny Fartloads is here, which I love that name. I'm gonna find the video if you don't mind moving along to another question. And I know the rear seat that there was some criticism that there wasn't a 60-40 flip.
Here you go. Kenneth Nix says, no, they don't.
Oh, somebody else said it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kenneth Nix is helping us out here. I don't recall them doing it from the video because I think when I folded it down, I had the passenger seat too far back and the headrest hit. And I wonder if that's a safety issue or something. I don't know. There's always a...
third row, like vehicles like the Hyundai Santa Fe, which we have yet to talk about, when the third row goes down, the headrests, and then you can pop them back into place. So I don't think it would be a safety issue.
Okay. So I did want to talk about Santa Fe. So I want to bring up the, I wanted to bring up your video. Well, I was going to
see, are there any other
I'm scrolling. So let's see, I'm going to throw this up here. Because I do want to talk about Santa Fe. So I want to throw, this is Jill's video and whatever, my analytics on the right, whatever, forget the analytics. Because I want to.
Nobody's watched it yet. So you've got to go watch it.
Right.
Only 527 views. It makes me feel pathetic.
Well,
go watch this video.
We did kill the audience today with lots of different stuff. I wanted to find.
I blame you then.
Well, yeah. Well, embargoes were.
Oh, you want to find me going over the seat. I see how you are. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen this yet in the podcast and listen to it, you got to watch this video. It's hilarious. Jill climbs over the seat and then her legs get stuck. And there pops with her hair, and then she takes her, blows her hair out of the way. My son was watching me when I was editing this video, and he just started laughing too. We were both laughing at this. And then Jill has a great point here. Our backpacks, which I have my backpack next to us. We have matching backpacks. Get over it. Our backpacks are not enormous, and it doesn't fit back there.
Well, it fits. It just doesn't fit super well back there.
Right. I just thought that was really interesting. That, do you think it's because it's a size thing? They want to fit in garages or city spaces?
No, I think that third row is supposed to be like in case of an emergency, third row.
Okay.
And so I think for the most part, people are going to keep that third row down so that they can use it as cargo space. But if they need to do carpool or something like that, the third row, like, I was actually very surprised at how comfortable it was and how well that seat works. And they only put two there, and you know, it's roomy and you don't feel cramped and there's big windows and all the things.
I think that's a big deal. Like, these automakers are putting these three seats in the back for the third row. And it's a joke. And so now they're finally being like, hey, let's just do two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just do two. Nobody's going to use that third seat. But I want to scroll ahead because I want to discuss this item as you're walking around. And I can't, the sound doesn't work when we do this stuff. But this is a latch.
Well, it's not a latch. It's a latch hand grab.
Hand grab. I saw the thing move. I thought, yeah. So hand grab. And so let me stop here. So I'm trying to explain this to the audience who's listening to the podcast. So imagine along the B pillar of the vehicle. So you have, or actually C pillar of this case. So between the second and third row on the exterior vehicle, you have some black cladding, but inside this black cladding is actually a grab handle that pushes in. You can lock this so it doesn't push in, or you can have it, you know, have it so you can push it in. And I was I was a little confused by this, and I guess I'm still. Jill was confused a little bit too, as far as usefulness. So the idea here is to put stuff on top of the luggage racks.
Yeah. And so, like, as you look at it there, your hand grip is really far off to the right and then your feet are to the left. So you're going to be kind of going like this to put your hand in the hand grip and then, you know, put your foot on the step by the seat. Like, to me, and I, you know, in the video, I say, maybe it's because I'm short. Maybe it's because I'm short that I think this is an awkward thing, but my drive partner was 5'6" and she said, like, no, this is awkward. And so, Kenneth Nix, it said, step on the tire. And
right. I've seen people.
Only way you could do it, because I think to use that hand grip, the step has to be there. But then, like, those are big tires, so you're going to be like doing like the big step rather than, and it's awkward. I don't know. I like the idea. They had the space. I think it's a clever feature, but it's just an awkward implementation.
Yeah, and it's very. I actually think this is very controversial because. Some reviewers loved it. Some viewers thought it was the best
thing. Well, they didn't actually try to effing use it.
Well, some people like, but so Tommy at TFL has one, a little YouTube short, and he actually puts his foot on the tire to get up there.
Yeah, that's the only way I think that you could do it.
Use it. If you had to put your foot on a tire, grab hold.
So, I mean, everybody's
thinking he didn't need it. He could just
step on the tire. But I'm going to tell you, Hyundai did not say that. They said, use the step by the seat and put your hand here. That's what they said. They did not say use the tire.
So Hyundai didn't say, they didn't say use the tire. So they're saying climb on there, take your right arm 90 degrees to the right, put your hand in there, and then use your left arm to put stuff on top of the luggage rack. Is that, that's kind of the way I'm looking at this.
It was incredibly awkward. So if Tommy stepped on the tire, like, that is the more logical way to do it. The step needs to be below the hand grip.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, like, I've stepped on a lot of tires to put stuff, you know, in the bed or whatever that could deal. That's not great. Like, tires get full of mud and snow and ice, and then you're trying to reach up there and you're slipping on it. It's rubber. You're stepping on a piece of rubber and you're trying to put stuff up there. So, yeah, I thought that was, it was interesting because I got home and I was getting myself organized, making some dinner, and I saw a couple of YouTube shorts on that. And I'd messaged Jill. I was like, Jill, did we, you know, mess this up? I thought it was dirt. Because when I guess when I saw her video and I read the story, my initial thought was, okay, that's just going to help get in the third row. And I thought, well, that's dumb. That's, you can't, that doesn't make any sense because you want the grip inside third row. So obviously I was not thinking right at that moment, which is fair criticism.
You never think right at any moment. So
just fair criticism.
Of course.
But I was trying to figure out like what's the, and the thing is like when Tommy did it, Tommy's tall enough. He could just grab the rail. He didn't need the hand grip. So if you're a taller person, you don't even need it because you just reach, you put your foot on the wheel.
And you just put stuff on the vehicle.
Yeah, you can just grab the luggage rack and use that to hold yourself up instead of being down lower.
And like stepping on the tire, by the way, also not good balance. Like you're going to put your feet on the tire and then, you know, and if it's muddy and I don't know, you like want that wide step by the chair, the seat for stability. Yeah.
We're a little behind the comments. James Houston, who talked about the warning, said the lane keep system, I used to get the warning on the other two Fords I had. And yeah, you should have your hand on the wheel, to be safe at all times. And Doug says, you're probably only hearing from a few people who'd buy the long bed but can't find it. Dealers don't even order them. Dealers aren't ordering, customers aren't ordering them, manufacturers aren't building them.
So in case you missed it on the podcast, Tim has switched back to the Ford Ranger away from the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Oh, sorry. I was going through some more comments.
Twirl!
Yes. I'm not. I apologize for that. I'm looking at more comments, and so I'm gonna scroll down for a second, look for anything. Here we go. So no offense to Jill, Santa Fe just isn't interesting. People buy them because they're cheap or good for the price. The people shopping them don't seem to be the auto journalist crowd. Ooh, what do you think?
Wait a minute. Don't seem to be the meaning auto journalists don't buy them. Do you know who the car confection guys are? They bought one.
They just bought one. Hyundai must be a bunch of contortionists. Yes. What's that? The Cirque du Soleil. So they're a bunch of circus. Maybe. Yeah. And Kevin Nix says he saw the video. LMAO. Kevin Nix is a huge fan, a great guy, fan of channel, big stuff.
So by the way, I had another take of that video that I did not share with Tim. Because the first one, like I had my backpack in the back and I like couldn't get all the way over the seat. And I'm like, well, that didn't go the way I wanted it to. And so I actually posted the full outtake on my TikTok channel. So if you want to laugh, go over to my TikTok channel. It's horizontal and everything. It's not like the vertical short. And it's like 2 minutes of me like trying to get into that space.
And she does this a lot. I've been in vehicles, but she just all of a sudden does this. Jill likes her size, and she's
Jill has an alter ego called Girl in the Trunk.
Yes.
And if you are on Instagram, you can go to Girl in the Trunk, and you can check out all of the trunks over the years that I have posed in.
Okay, so let's get back to the trucks. And I got corrected. Gene says, wouldn't the Gladiator be the biggest backseat? Yes. The mid-sized truck's Gladiator's biggest, because the Gladiator is biggest the longest.
The legroom or the widest? The width.
Legroom. It's the more legroom. The Gladiator is the largest mid-sized truck by footprint. Length, width, and conceal. Let's see. Bunny fart loads, because this is interesting. When do you think we actually will start seeing some of these dealerships, Ford Ranger? I know that they will for sure have market adjustments for a while, which is sad. I don't know how much market adjustments. I'm sure Ranger Raptor will have it, but nothing else in the XLT. This was interesting, and I wanted to get your viewpoint on this, and I wrote it up in a story. There's a lot of criticism of Ford because we saw this vehicle in May of 2023. First drive was March
to get it out.
Of 2024, and now we're looking... So, typically, first drive events happen within a month, I'm going to say, month mm-hmm. or two, of vehicles hitting dealerships. So if you see a first drive event, they're ramping up production. They can hold some for quality control. Every brand does quality control. They always hold, they build like 300-400 and they hold them and they go through them again and again. Always happens. They ship them to dealerships. And then when they ship them to dealerships, the date is held at a certain number, certain date, because they're working on the marketing. They're working on the PR, is getting the brass photos together. They're working on the reviews of they want to put out there. So every automaker picks a date and they say, okay, we're going to build them all. We're going to hold them to this date, do quality control. We're going to get the marketing on there, TV, radio stations, advertisements, TV advertisements, and release them. So you're typically a couple months away. But I think it's interesting that people have brought up this criticism of Ford. Do you not remember the UAW strike? Like that really?
Short memory. I have no idea what you're talking about. What strike?
You're right. It's crazy. It's like UAW strike impacts Ford and the suppliers and the suppliers and the suppliers,
all the mid-sized trucks. Like all of the, it was the mid-sized truck plants that were hit.
Right. Yeah.
The 2024, like next model year for Colorado and Canyon had a hard time getting out the door.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's
they're just not new.
Right. Right. But it's still not it's not a Ford issue. It's the strike really impacted stuff. And now we are the strike ended, was it October, November, something like that? We're only a couple months post that. And supply chain takes a while to get going. And you're going, well, hey, Tim, the Kentucky Super Duty plant was the one that closed down. That went on a strike. Well, no, other Ford plants got interrupted. And the parts, we're using universal parts now throughout different vehicles throughout the lineup. And so if the window control supplier company got impacted by the strike, lost some team members because they quit, went under jobs, they can't build more of these window control modules. Well, guess what? That impacts all the vehicles in Ford's lineup and maybe vehicles in GM's lineup, because there's not this magical world of thousands and thousands of suppliers. It's like, remember the Takata airbag recall? There was one airbag supplier, one major airbag supplier in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, if one has a problem, it impacts a lot of vehicles.
Like millions and millions and millions. Like it's still ongoing. The recall is still ongoing.
Yeah. Oh, and Kyle said, thanks for the great answer. He didn't know about the length of the boat as well. It just makes me nervous. Pontoons are not very heavy. I just makes me nervous when you're backing up, when you're towing such a big, long thing with a smaller vehicle. And I know our friends over in Europe do it all the time. Those guys are nuts. Anyways, Sir Skippy Pants says, I went to an auto show 2 weeks ago. Thank you for going. Informed consumer, go to auto shows. They're great for consumers. They had a new Ranger. All the buttons and controls inside seemed tiny. Not sure if anyone else thought so.
I'm just going to say thank you to Ford for actually putting buttons and controls in there instead of a screen with just a dial and then you have to hit everything on the screen.
The Lightning and the Mach-E have that, and it's like, it's confusing. They are tiny. I will give you this. I will give you that. The Tacoma's got bigger, and I'm speaking of heating HVAC system, heat controls. I think in my video I pointed out that I think the Tacoma's got bigger knobs than the Ford Ranger's got, but I didn't have a problem with them. I didn't think there was, I don't know.
It's clearly not something I noticed with my
your size
10-year-old fingers.
Right. I don't know that it's that, it's probably something you get used to. But yeah, they are smaller. Let's see. Oh, jeez. Dave in Canada, I'm listening while I cruise on a sunny day in my smooth and powerful V6 RAV4, plus it's paid for. Yes, Dave. Dave, I know you have a RAV4 because you've said it so many times in the comments. I know you have a RAV4. he says no. So talking about the Hyundai Santa Fe, I'm going back and forth a little bit because we're doing both in the comments, meaning that he says the auto journalist crowd, the people in the shopping room don't seem to be the auto journalist crowd. The people that watch reviews of vehicles don't seem like they watch too much of the Hyundai Santa Fe. And I've actually, that's kind of my criticism for some channels that do like certain vehicles, like the Camry, Toyota Corolla would be a better scenario on this. People go to the dealership and they go, I want the cheapest car I can buy. Okay, here you go. Boom. I don't think many people are going on YouTube watching videos on the Toyota Corolla reviews. I think people are just going to go with it, just buy that.
Depends on the Toyota Corolla. The GR Corolla is worth watching. You know what? I kind of disagree with you on that. because I think that people who are researching vehicles, you know, they're going to look at the Nissan Sentra versus the Toyota Corolla. And so they're going to want like some kind of a comparison. And I feel like our first look video that we did of the Santa Fe when they revealed it, I feel like that did pretty well. So, I mean, I feel like we punked ourselves by putting three videos out at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the truck is always going to do better than the SUV. And anything you do is always going to do better than what I do.
I agree with the latter. Anyways, so...
I was just going to flip you off, and I don't know if I should do that on video. Never mind. I kind of had a half flip off there.
No, and we got 5 minutes left. My son, I need to go pick him up. He's with his friends and ready to be picked up. Anyways, no, I embargo timing this morning was terrible, and I thought about holding off things later. And I don't know. It's a game you play. It's just a game you play. But I will say that sometimes videos that don't do well initially, first drive stuff, do better when they start getting dealership lots. It seems like the first look does the best because it's brand new, it's different, everybody's kind of curious. And then first drives don't do as well, but then dealership lots, marketing ramps up. Sometimes those videos come out doing better. Ryan Schirsch, I'm just going with Ryan. I'm not good with last names. After driving the Ranger, would you wait for the 2.7 or go with the 2.3 either way? I think it depends on how much performance you want out of this midsize truck. Again, some people are going to buy the Ranger Raptor because it's got 3-liter V6 because they want the most horsepower and torque they can. I thought the 2.3 was fine. I really thought it was great. Not great. I don't want to say great. It was good.
It was a good engine. And, yeah, it was good. I mean, it was disappointing that we couldn't drive the 2.7 for comparison.
Right.
But it was solid.
I think it was solid. I wasn't disappointed in it. I didn't want more power. So like when I drove the Colorado with the bass tune, not bass tune, the mid tune, not the high tune, whatever. I did not like the mid tune. In the video, I even said I wanted more power out of this thing. The 2.3, I didn't feel like the same way. And so I would be fine buying the 2.3 Ford. And you know, the reality is the 2.3 and 2.7 have been in Ford's lineup for a while. So you can go watch comparable videos. I think the Bronco maybe offers Bronco Sports 2.3, Broncos 2.7, whatever. I'm not clear in the head at the moment. Don't quote me on that stuff. But you can probably go find some videos of a 2.3 and a 2.7, and I don't feel like the deal. All right, let's.
So.
Okay, yeah, let's end in this question. I want to end in this Kyle's question, but I want to ask you this question. I want to go back to Hyundai Santa Fe one more time. James Houston asks, what do you think of the Hyundai DCT? Heard some really bad things about it.
Okay, so I had the DCT Cruise that I was driving in the Rebel Rally, and I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was great. And okay,
I'm sorry, I'm not clear what DCT is.
Dual clutch transmission.
Okay, I was, yeah.
Like, I'm assuming that would be the.
I'm assuming, yeah, that sounds right.
And what I want to say, because I remember when Kristen and I first started doing training, we actually got a call from Roman at TFL, and he was like, so be careful about being in the desert. Our DCT overheated, you know, our transmission was overheating in the Santa Cruz, and I would hate for you to be in the middle of the Rebel Rally and have a problem with your transmission. And so we actually had the engineer with us, and we talked about that. And he was like, I won't tell you exactly what he said, but he was just like, they're doing it wrong. And he was like, if you're going to use this specific transmission in this vehicle in the desert, he's like, you've got to go into manual mode and use it that way. And you need to actually select the gear for what it is that you're doing and what you want it to do, and you will never have a problem. And we never had a problem. So I honestly don't know if it's the same transmission in the Santa Fe that you get in the Santa Cruz. I haven't gone into the weeds there, but I had no problems with it during the drive. I had no problems with it in the Santa Cruz.
Okay. So earlier in the show, Kyle 7 says, this is a comment. We're going to reply to this and sign off here. So earlier we asked your favorite midsize at the moment. What is Tim and Jill's favorite full size that they buy today for personal use? again, I get this question all the time. It's nearly an impossible question because I like different things from different brands. I really do. Like it so there's
size question is so much easier.
What's that?
I said the full size. What would I buy for a full size is so much easier, but midsize is really tough.
Well, so what would you buy for mid for full size?
Full size, I'd buy the Ford F-150, hands down.
Because of the visibility for you. And
yeah, visibility the pedal. The kick down windows on the side, the adjustable pedals. You know, I think it's got great power. It, you know, it's comfortable. I like the seats. Like, I just, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve my judgment on this because I'm waiting to get my Ram truck. And I can't wait to get my Ram truck because then I'll have owned all four full-size trucks in the market. And then I'll be able to give you a really good answer. And Doug points out, yeah, Tim would get an F-150 with a GM 3-liter diesel and the Ram interior. I mean, that's really what it comes down to sometimes. But I want to wait till I get the Ram because one of the exciting videos I'm excited to do is I'm excited to do a video end of the year. I've had it for not end of the year, but maybe 6-7 months. I've had this thing, whatever. It turns out I get it. I have no ETA. I have no idea when it's coming in, but I want to do, hey, I've owned all four mid-size truck or full-size trucks. This is what I think after this much ownership of each. Extended test drive. I get it. Tell me that I don't own vehicles long enough. I totally get it. I take all the criticism, but I do want to just get that experience. And I'm going dark because I'm not turning my lights on this thing. But that needs wrapped.
Yeah, like my son has already set. So
right, yes, no, the sun's setting. I need to get my son. I don't want to be out there when it's dark. So
okay, so mid-size truck.
Mid-size truck.
What? That's the original question. What mid-size truck would you get for personal use?
I would want to buy the Tacoma, but I'd buy the Ranger for the price point. I like the Canyon and the Colorado. The Canyon is just a touch too tall for me. It just was a little awkward, even with the running rails and stuff. It just was a little bit too awkward to get in and out of. And getting in and out is a huge deal for me because I don't want to fuss with this stuff anymore. It's I want to just get in and out easily. I really like the GMC Canyon styling. I like the powertrain. It's just that mandatory lift from factory lift. It just makes it that much too tall. And it frustrates me. It's like, just give me a GMC Canyon that's a little bit lower to the ground. Don't force me to buy a 1-inch lift. Like, well, it comes factory 1-inch lift. All of them do. Well, that's a bunch of bull. Like, you designed it that way. Why even say that? Like, this is how you want the truck to be. Not that it comes with a 1-inch lift in factory, whatever, the 1-inch, 2-inch lift, whatever. That's just a load of bull. I've always hated that when they've said that because, no, you designed it that way because that's the way you put it out there. Hello. I like the Tacoma, but when I price out the Tacoma, I'd buy is $55,000. When I priced at the Ford Ranger XLT, it was $46,000. On my phone in the mountain, I just pulled over and priced out the best I could because there's no pricing for that kind of stuff. I like Nissan Frontier a lot. They just cheap out too many different areas for me. And the powertrain is actually surprisingly pretty good with a non-turbo. Jeep Gladiator, I just never have been sold on it. I don't know. It's just, I don't like the seating position. I don't like the way it rides. I just not a big fan of that vehicle overall. Honda Ridgeline. It's honestly, people want me to make fun of Honda Ridgeline. People want me to pick on it. People want me to say things bad about it. It's not a bad little truck. It's not. It rides really well on dirt roads. It goes over potholes really well. It because it's got the unibody construction. Is it a man's man exterior? No. Does it look bland? Yeah. Even the HPD package looks. Yeah, not a fan. But yeah, I think that's fair as far as that truck goes. I think it's good for a certain customer. It's not the one I'd buy, but I think it's fine. I'm thinking about what am I missing, Jill? I got both GM twins. I got Tacoma. I got Frontier. I got Gladiator. I got Honda and I got Ford.
Right.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think right now I feel good buying a Ford Ranger XLT 2.3. Maybe FX4 package on it, whatever you want to do. I think I'd be good with that.
Yeah. And I mean, if you take money out of it, because like, I'll be honest, a truck would not be practical for me at all, period. So if you were going to take a complete like money out of it, like I would say my favorite truck that I've driven so far this year for midsize has to be the the Colorado ZR2. That was just so much fun. You know, and it was just such an eye-catching vehicle. And I don't have the, I mean, even though I'm short, I don't have the egress, you know, entry issues that, that Tim does. Cause I, you know, I just kind of like bound into
right. The vehicle. You bound. It just, it's like an inch or two, just, it's just that really awkward distance. It's just that height issue. So if you're a little bit taller, you're probably not a problem, but it just was a little awkward for me.
No. And I, you know, I mean, it definitely was a little bit of a bounce in for me, but it didn't bother me. And I like the looks of it. I like the interior. I liked how it drives. I think it's, completely impractical. And every time I try to straighten my hat, it goes the wrong way. I just think it's completely impractical. And if I'm going to own a truck, I'm going for something that's completely crazy because there is no point to having a truck for me in the city. If I was going to get a truck that my husband would also be driving, it would have to be the Toyota Tacoma with a manual transmission.
Yeah. It's one of the only ones in the market that have manual anymore. Yeah,
Jeep Gladiator and Jeep the Toyota Tacoma are the only two trucks, pickup trucks that have a manual transmission.
Okay. My son is getting nervous. He's freezing. So I'm going to go rescue him. Make sure you follow us on the forum and pickuptrucktalk.com both ways. You should do the subscribe and like stuff for the channel. I should put that out more and more videos. Apparently people want to be reminded of that. Oh, hit the smash like button, whatever. Whatever you guys want to do. This stuff is just, it's fun. All right. I think that's all we have for you tonight.
Yep.
I'm running out of stuff. All right. There you go. I'm done. As always, thanks for watching or listening, whatever you're doing. We will see you down the road.